Diablo Code is back with another polarizing project. Today I'm talking about Lisa Frankenstein. This is Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Hello, movie friends. Welcome to Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. I am Scott, and today I am talking about Lisa Frankenstein, which is the latest movie that was written by Diablo Cody. And this one is interesting. It got a lot of attention, mostly for not doing as well at the box office as expected, or at least less than people thought it should be, since it was like, oh, it's an original property, an original take on a certain property. And I think a lot of people who have actually seen the movie are like, yeah, this was already going to be a niche movie to begin with, for reasons that'll become readily apparent as I get into it. So, without further ado, let's get started. Diablo Cody is one of the more polarizing creators in the entertainment business. For some, a lot of the irksome trends in movies, especially teen movies, began with the Cody-penned movie Juno, where every character is a quip machine that makes references to indie bands that they love. While others have appreciated Cody's commitment to expanding and trying out new things and giving meaty roles for leading ladies. Say what you will about young adult Tully in the United States of Terra, but you'd be hard-pressed to find roles better suited to the talents of Charlize Theron and Toni Collette, who are often better than the material that they get. And yes, a healthy chunk of the backlash against Cody has felt more like sexism because Cody was and is a woman in a male-dominated industry who got rocketed into stardom very quickly. I say all of that to say that I came into her latest movie, Lisa Frankenstein, with an open mind and still had some big things I wanted to change. Catherine Newton stars as Lisa Swallows, yes, that's her name, a teenager trying to survive high school after the tragic murder of her mother and her father's marriage to a pill of a woman who seems dead set on making Lisa's life hell. But Lisa's humdrum life takes a turn for the stranger when a Victorian-era corpse from a graveyard Lisa likes to frequent is reanimated by a lightning strike and seeks Lisa out. So there's a lot to like about this movie. The general premise is solid, the acting is great all around, and there's some solid nods to the source material. So why is this movie kinda meh for me? Tone, or rather, this movie can't seem to decide on one. On the one end, the movie is aiming for a campy teen romance, where all of our characters play everything to an 11 in a sleazy version of the 80s. Literally, they got Joe Crest, the guy who plays the schlub and incompetent dad in Stranger Things, to play Lisa's dad to hammer the point home. Same goes for Cole Sprouse, who communicates in hand gestures and grunts and spits out bugs, and Carla Gugino, who plays her demon stepmother like a drag performer, in a very good way. I also like the characterization of Lisa's stepsister Taffy, who isn't the best about communicating in a supportive way, but is clearly looking out for Lisa, even against her own mother. This is the stuff that really works, since we get to see fun stuff, like the creature going through a fashion show with Lisa, Lisa's sexy Madonna goth makeover getting attention at school, and a bunch of amplified high school drama taken to the rafters. The second tone, well, it's Heather's. I won't spoil any major plot beats, but about halfway through the movie, we shift from silly teen rom-com to black dark comedy with bloody violence with the subtlety of a U-turn, which in all honesty, I think could have worked. It's not a bad transition. It lines up with the source material and can lean into the anti-nostalgia I like so much. But Heather's was rated R, which meant everybody could curse like a sailor, and they didn't need to neuter or tone down the violence, and Lisa Frankenstein is PG-13. And that might be the problem right there. As much as movies can drift between sweet and scary, the movie only gets the sweet stuff right because that's the stuff that isn't restricted by the rating. You can show all of the sweet love scenes you want in a PG-13 movie. But the violence and the hard edge this movie wants to have, you need the R rating for that. And since there's already more blood in this movie than the standard PG-13 superhero movie, they've got to tone everything else down, which means no gross-out gore, and even one of its best possible visual gags doesn't hit as well as it could. This tonal mismatch also means that a lot of the other elements and unresolved plot threads become more glaring. Like, why does this movie almost never talk about Lisa's mom, or try to resolve that, or have her and the creature go looking for the culprit? Is it because the movie is trying to hinge closer to the source material, or what it cut out? And this movie basically ignores that its lead character has the name of a porn star somehow. None of these are what I'd call deal breakers. I had plenty of fun with this movie regardless. It just means that the end result is a movie that has a lot of solid elements and moments versus being a movie I'd recommend with my whole chest. This has been Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie World, for the latest reviews, discussions, and more. See you next time, everybody, and stay safe.